This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Physical distancing rules that we're all living with right now also apply to funerals. Even as many families have people to mourn, beloved people who lived long lives full of folks who are missing them, we're not really in a position to gather for long remembrances full of stories and tears and laughs, with plates of food to pass around and glasses to raise. So how do we grieve and honor the dead right now? Thomas Lynch is funeral director and president at Lynch & Sons Funeral Home. It serves several communities in Michigan, including Brighton, Lapeer, and Walled Lake. He's also a poet and essayist. Thomas Lynch, welcome.
Thanks, April. I'm glad to be here.
Will you tell us where you are right now?
I'm at the south end of Mullet Lake in northern Michigan, about a half hour south of the bridge, and my son Michael embargoed my being in the office because I have all of the preconditions that would make me high risk. So he sent me up here to live alone with a dog, and the dog's getting tired of it. But we're doing okay.
Yeah, I wonder if it's difficult to be away from work right now.
It is, and particularly because I know the pressure they're under in a lot of ways, not only the, you know, the actual work that must be done, but I think for everybody involved in last things, the families that, you know, we're serving and the dead that we're trying to get to their proper dispositions. I think this physical distancing and the contagion both informs and bewilders us. So I spend the day on the phone and on virtual meetings and trying to, you know, assist them in ways that I can. But the real work is the heavy lifting and the large muscles, the heart and the shoulders and the rest of it.
You've been at this for many years now. What do you see funerals doing for us at a time when we've lost someone?
I've always thought of funerals as essentially a collaboration between the living and the dead. And so I see the essential elements of a funeral. You know, we tend to concentrate on all the accessories, the boxes, the bagpipers, the mum plants and hoopla. But the real essentials of a funeral are four. You need a corpse, someone who agrees to quit breathing forever. And sadly, we're inundated with those from strange sources that we never have had before. You need mourners, someone to whom it matters. You need a story, and the story is about the one who has died, and it's not only their biography, but it's also what they believed in, what they hoped for, what they held close to their heart, their spiritual and religious impulses, the things that informed their values. And finally, and very importantly, we need the transport. We need to get the dead where they need to go, because by doing so, the living get where they need to be. So it is this collaborative conduct that every culture, you know, as long as, you know, for 50,000 years, if you watch a certain channel, will tell you that humans are distinguished by the fact that they do these things. They pause when one of their own kind dies. So those four things, April: corpse, mourners, story, and transport. And the trouble with the current pestilence is that it separates those things physically, and they are basically physical enactments. A corpse is not the idea of the thing. The body is the thing itself, and it is by getting the body where it needs to go. In the case of our dead, they need to get burned or buried or entombed or into some abyss that we choose for them, whether it's the sea or the grave or the fire or the tomb. By getting them there, we get to do that. And by showing up to assist the family with that, we're saying, we'll take our part of that burden, that heavy lift. We'll help you carry that. And that's not happening now because We fear contact with one another, and properly so.
Well, what are the restrictions on the funeral services that Lynch and Sons can offer right now? Are there certain practices that you've had to put in place?
We've had to, of course, limit the number of people who can participate to 10. That's by, you know, the directive of our governor, and by the good orderly direction of the CDC and common sense dealing with the coronavirus. So that only takes the immediate family to where, you know, they can basically see and say goodbye briefly to their dead, and then they can carry them to their final disposition, whether it's the open grave or the open fire or whatever it happens to be. And that's hard duty to be done alone. But by the time you have pallbearers and, you know, an immediate family, my mother's sister, our Aunt Sally, died yesterday, the Bed of Heaven tour.
I'm so sorry.
And she was 92. And I know someplace in the sparkling future there will be a religious ceremony to mark her long faith life and the hope that she had of heaven. And but right now, I think she's probably being buried, and the people who bury her, like the people who probably consoled her in the, you know, the care facility that she was in these last months, they're doing the best they can to bring humanity to bear on that circumstance, but they are not the people that she would want or would want to be with her. So it's these are difficult times, and we hope to make up the difference in future, but we have to wait and see and take a day at a time and keep the grieving and the mourners in our prayers, because in a sense, they're trying to do a virtual lift and a virtual transport.
Right.
And they don't have anyone to tell the story to.
Well, part of what you do is to provide that emotional support as people go through the rituals of their grief. Are there ways that you can help at a distance?
Every time we give, you know, every time a family seizes on the sort of deeply human duty of taking care of their dead, they are moving in the right direction when it comes to dealing with their grief. We deal with death, April, by dealing with our dead. We sometimes think that, you know, a memorial service or a celebration of life will do the job, and it may well do, but the essentials have to be there. And among the essentials is the dealing with our dead, and not the idea of them, not a photograph, not a recording. Those things will stand in when they have to, but in the best case scenario, the ways that we conjure our dead usually happen in community, in cahoots with the people we love the most and who loved our dead the most with us. So that communion is very important, and to the extent that the current plague disallows that, we are hurt by it.
You know, because our society tends to be averse to talking about these things, many of us don't have the language to talk about death and grief on a daily basis, but funeral directors certainly have those skills. Do you have any thoughts on how to cope with seeing so much grief all around us right now?
I don't know that funeral directors are any more expert than other humans. And I think that if we love, we grieve. And to the extent that we do love, we, you know, grief will have its way with us. So the things that help us most in grief are is the companionship of others who are willing to share our grief. You know, the rule of thumb, Edgar Jackson, an old Methodist minister, may his memory be eternal, used to say that grief shared is grief diminished. It's as if you have this stone you have to push uphill. I think it was a myth by that name. But the more the merrier, April. The more people who get under the box that has to be lifted from this place to the next, the lighter the load is for everyone. So to the extent that FaceTime and all the social medias put us in closer contact, even though we're only getting glimpses and virtual glimpses of one another, those things all help. This morning I watched the funeral mass of a funeral director friend of mine who died last week, and the mass was in Gaylord. His name was Chuck Nelson. Since I was a boy painting parking blocks for my father's funeral home, I remember Chuck Nelson because he served his apprenticeship with us. And here he is at the end of his life, his darling Patricia, I think they were married for ever and a day. She's there with her children, but they had 10 people at a mass that would have had thousands, because Chuck had been the funeral director in Gaylord for well over half a century. But we must take care of one another the best way we can. So, you know, I've attended virtual 12-step meetings, virtual poetry readings, virtual book club meetings. You know, if you ring me, I'll be in any meeting, because otherwise I'm talking to Carl the dog, and he doesn't know the pandemic's on. So he just thinks this is normal, and it's not. It's not. We need one another. And if there is a silver lining, as they say, possibly we'll know that need more keenly when this is over.
Do you worry about people becoming numb to death and to grief in this moment when so many people all around the world are just wrapped in it?
What I worry about is the disconnect, April. I mean, grief is going to have its way with us. My father, may he rest in peace, used to say, you can pay the undertaker, pay the bartender, pay the shrink, but you're going to pay the price. Grief will have its way with us. If you love, you grieve. It's almost like the tax that we pay on love. And we can delay our taxes by a couple months, as we've done. But they are still certain as our mortality. The numbers are really convincing on this. 100% of us who are born die. And grief, which is the other side of that coin of love, will come calling for its pittance, whatever it might be.
You know, no one goes into your line of work, I think, unless they're prepared to meet people on their lowest days. Do you find in talking to the folks who are on site at the business right now that this work has changed for them in the past couple of weeks?
They are remarkable. I think the men and women in funeral service across the nation and around the world are, you know, we call them the last responders, but they are every bit as exposed to the real costs of this contagion as anyone else is. But they go about their work because that's what they were called to do, and they see it, I am certain, not just as a living, but as a way of life, and not just as a job, but a calling, a true vocation. And those who do it well, not only do they see the dismal trade, the dark days, the hearts that are broken, but they also see the long history of love, the years of a long marriage, the way that she stubbed her toe and he said, ouch, and that they're going to have to learn another way to do it now. That's a spectacularly meaningful line of work to be in. I mean, I've always found it more meaningful than anything else, and I think my colleagues do as well, or they wouldn't do it.
Thomas Lynch is funeral director and president of Lynch and Sons Funeral Home. Mr. Lynch, thank you so much, both for your work and for your thoughts right now.
Thanks, April. God bless.
Monday on Michigan Radio's Morning Edition, you can hear more about the challenges that funeral homes and mortuaries are facing right now. We hope you'll be with us.